And again, thank you to everyone that participates in that nursery ministry. One of the kids at camp yesterday, I was invited to participate in a panel of about five people answering questions that the kids had written down and put in a box. And it's all a surprise, you know, woohoo! And one of them was about your favorite pizza, but most of them were pretty deep. And that's how you get to know somebody, you know. And one of the questions was, how can I read the Bible if I don't understand it? Okay. And sometimes that's asked by people that haven't even made an attempt. Other times it's a version that becomes difficult. And the location where they start. You know, I mean, the Bible is thought of by some as a big puzzle. And how can I begin to comprehend it? Yet some things are so absolutely streamlined, solid, and simply put, easily put. We are in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10 that says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. End of statement. It's not a puzzle, but it is a statement, as I've gone through it in this particular study, that gets very, very deep. This morning, I'd like to sound out the depth of it a little bit. Combining that with Hebrews 11:6, some of you have it memorized, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That gives us a very full plate. They must believe that he is, because he is yet unseen. And believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Believe that he exists and he will meet you with the reward of life. Faith comes from hearing, and the word is there, hearing concerning Christ or hearing the word of Christ. Faith is this, but it comes from hearing the word of Christ. And it seems so simple, easy to memorize that 12-word sentence. But over and over in the scripture comes the word of Christ, comes the word concerning Christ. It's not just a little slice of the pie. Our Lord gave a parable in Luke 8. Please turn there and look at it with me. It's also given in Matthew and Mark. And it regards the things that block out the hearing. Luke chapter 8. I want to begin at verse 1 just for a comfortable setting. It came about soon afterwards that he began going about from city to city, village to another, or one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary Magdalene, who was called Magdalene, from among whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna. And many others were contributing to their support out of their private means. And when a great multitude were coming together, and from those various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air ate it up, and other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things, and he would call out, which means he kept repeating this, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples began questioning him as to what the parable might be. He said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing, they have eyes, they may not see." But you understand from this context, they have the opportunity. "And that hearing, they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. Salvation is this word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing concerning the word of Christ. These, one equals the other. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Okay, guys in the back corner, you need to not mingle like that, okay? Thank you. It'll be much, much better if you pay attention. That's the reason we gathered together, okay? Thank you. So the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. They had ears to hear and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That's the definition of his parable. Verses 16 through 18 kind of caps it off. "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light." It has its purpose. "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen." Listen to gain what God wants, or just listen for the trivia of it? Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall be more given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, and that's the opportunity and the knowledge, but it falls dead, it will be taken away from him. So the Lord gave this parable, combining Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three passages. I put together a list of things that block the word from being heard. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. It includes these things. I think we could make the list a little longer. But it includes not taking it seriously to begin with. Letting the devil, he's brought up here, substitute his lies so that word concerning Christ is blocked. Affliction and persecution because of the word. Because you believe it, you receive the persecution. Worry and anxiety of the age, whether that's home and home life, just trying to make the daily grind, or that's Middle East. The worries and anxiety of this age, including the social pressures. It's not cool to name the name of Jesus amongst the group that you like to be with. And the deceitfulness of riches. things that block out the word of God, the word concerning Christ. Many of these described in these three texts did not brace themselves in the truth, preparing themselves against the opposition, and the opposition became dominant and they stumbled. I think this fits with 10:17 of Romans. We are talking about the word of God, which is the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the jewel of all jewels. There is nothing more beautiful, nothing more vital and critical. It is life and death. And the only way to have a relationship with God, both now and forever. The word concerning Christ, spoken to an ear that can hear, results in faith. That's what Romans 10:17 says. Combined with God's grace, it results in salvation. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace you are saved through faith. How does faith come? Hearing of the word concerning Christ with ears that can hear. This all fits together. And like I said, it gets deeper and deeper. I'd like to look more intimately into this idea of the word concerning Christ. There are many passages in which to see it. I've chosen a small choice selection. Please turn to the Gospel of John, where this little journey is going to start, and then go consecutively to the right. John chapter 6, very difficult teaching on Jesus' part, and at the end of it, most turned away and wouldn't walk with him. Verse 63, Jesus says, I'm in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. That helps explain verses 44 and verse 45. Same passage. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, in order to be heard, in order to be read, heard, and understood. Watch what it says. They shall all be taught of God. Here comes the word that God teaches. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This is God's process of drawing the person. He who has ears, let him hear. This is what God has to teach, and it's the word of Christ, the word concerning Christ. John chapter 12. John 12:48-50. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, it's a word chrema, which is the same word in Hebrews 10:17. The chrema concerning Christ. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word logos I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. The final and complete message of God completed. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say, what to speak. And it is all about the word of God, the word concerning Christ. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You, disciples he's talking to, are already clean, and that's the same word for prunes. You've already been pruned. You've already been cleaned. You are on your way. And why? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God, the word from God concerning himself, the word of Christ. John 17, verse 8. Praying to his Father, for the words which thou hast given me, I have given to them, the disciples. They received them and truly understood. They had ears that could hear that I came forth from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 17. Sanctify them, set them apart as holy in the truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. There's the word concerning Christ that came from the apostles to each of the hearing groups, clear down to you and me today. He has prayed for us. And it's about the word concerning himself. Acts chapter 20, please. No, right there in John 20. I almost missed this one. Oh, very important. John 20, 30 and 31. Many other things, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, and we have the collection right here in our lap. If you don't, we have some extras right back there. These have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here it is not just the spoken word, it is the written word concerning Christ. And you may have life in his name. It's all about this. Go to the book of Acts, please, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul is meeting with the elders of Ephesus, the last time they'll be together. It's a very weepy moment because they know they'll never see him again. Acts 20, he gives them a last admonition. And then this is some of his parting words, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Salvation. The word of his grace. The word of God is the word of Christ concerning Christ. It is the word of grace. Romans should flip right open automatically. Chapter 1. Oh yeah. Romans 1. Verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. Here, the word of God, the word concerning Christ, is called the gospel. Watch it unfold. The gospel of God, verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, they all pointed to this concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God, pointing to him, declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. If you've believed, you are one of those. Drop down to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, that proclaimed message, that good news of God, of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Chapter 9 of Romans. Chapter 9 and verse 32, about the Jewish people who are not believers in Christ. Though they might be law-abiding Jewish citizens, Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They did not pursue what they had heard about God by faith. They missed it because faith was not there. Faith comes from hearing with ears that can hear, and hearing by the word of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, please. Not too far to the right, but it's a little way. 1 Thessalonians, and I want chapter 2, verse 13, about these Gentiles in Thessalonica. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Go to the book of James next. James 1. Verse 18. James 1:18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, which is the word of God, which is the gospel, the word concerning Christ. He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. And then he gives some advice. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself to be doers of the word, ears that can hear and respond to what he says, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in his natural face in the mirror. Once he's looked at himself, he's gone away and immediately forgotten what he looked like, what manner of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the gospel, the word of God, the word concerning Christ, having not become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. One more. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been rebirthed, born again, born from above, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass. All its glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off. Stop right there for a moment. In this room, I could have some of you stand that are still flowers in bloom. Oh, so gorgeous, young men and women. I could have others stand, which the flowers kind of fallen off. It's kind of withering a little bit. That's what he's saying. All flesh is like grass. All its glory like the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls off, and young people, it's going to happen. Trust us. But the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. That is repeated 7 times in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. It is repeated several times by Jesus himself. I'm talking to you guys. You got ears. Hear. Let's go back to faith. Faith comes by hearing, or from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The Bible that we have is the word of God concerning Christ. From the beginning to the end, it all points to Jesus. World history, including what is unfolding today in the Middle East, revolves around Jesus Christ, points to Jesus Christ, and will result in his righteous presence back here with us. The caption I read yesterday morning before I left for camp from the news: Israel had retaliated against Lebanon, who had lobbed a great big missile at Israel. And I'm thinking, it could be happening exactly like the scriptures talk about. I'm going to be looking at some verses in Micah, God willing, Wednesday night, based out of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus' words that are making a lot of sense to my brain regarding even what's happening today in the Middle East, potentially. God has not sent me a godogram to tell me, Dan, this is it. But he said, be watching, because when you see these start to unfold, lift up your eyes. Now, the word of God from Genesis through Revelation points to Jesus. This, to me, is fleshly and freshly summed up by Paul's sermon in Athens. I want you to turn to Acts 17, please. He, speaking to some who could hear, some who could not hear, but were impressed by his ability. Boy, this is fresh to me. And while still in the flesh, it makes a lot of sense. Acts chapter 17. I'm going to begin at verse 22. Paul stood up in the middle of the Areopagus. And that was a place where they gathered so they could just hear the news things that came to town. It was constantly filled with people who just wanted to listen and give their opinions. Oh my goodness. He was asked to go and share. He stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." Here comes the word of Christ. "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things, even to the atheist who says there is no God, with the very breath that God gives him. And he made from one flesh, from one blood, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." It's for all flesh. "For in him we live and move and exist, have our being. We are because of him. Even as some of your own poets have said, 'For we also are his offspring.' Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore," and now comes the sermon, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That's a message for today.
Oh, yeah.
Time of ignorance is run out. Time for messing around and just tipping your hat toward God, there's no more time for that. The word concerning Christ has its ability to save you, having ears to hear, because the grace of God kicks in at that point. And that is to each one of us. And then, like Romans starts with, from faith to faith. It goes in steps and growth, progress in the Lord and knowing more and more about him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, though he can't be seen yet, and that he is a rewarder of any who would seek him. Faith comes by hearing of the word of Christ. Don't add anything to it. It is that simple. And that message is throughout the scripture. We have it here as God ordained us to have. And has he protected it? Oh my, has he protected it and given it to us. Let's open for interaction.
The very beginning, you opened up with the statement made by someone that I don't read the scripture because I can't understand it. I have a difficult time understanding it. I have gone to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 so many times on that statement as a way to explain to people, you don't have to understand it. The Word of God is a living Word of God, that he has given the ability to do the work within you, just as he compares a newborn baby taking in its mother's milk. That mother's milk has been designed to do the work, to bring that child to a full place of growth and health. The baby doesn't have to understand it. It's the power of God upon the mother's milk that causes that baby to grow and develop and be strong and healthy. God's word does the same for us. Just read it and let the power of God be upon it to do the work within us, to grow us, develop us, and mature us for his glory.
Thank you.
I was thinking the same thing when you said there.
Who's talking there? Olivia.
I was just kind of noticing that too, and I kind of got what he meant. You can read it and not understand it. Understanding it comes with time. Reading it is easy.
Okay. And God is the one that's going to open it up.
Yes.
To us. Beth?
Yeah, I think I'm a knitter. And sometimes I follow patterns. And I'll start reading through the pattern, and it's all abbreviated and stuff. And I get to a point where it's like, this isn't making any sense. So I go back, and I do the first part. I go through the steps, and it's like, oh, this makes sense. And I think there's a sense in which we read the word. There's some stuff that's pretty obvious. And if we start doing that, then the Lord, like, opens our mind and helps us understand it better.
Amen. Agree.
You can read the same scripture and then read it again a couple late weeks later and get something completely new out of it.
The Lord is pretty creative about how he uses it for us. The best way to miss it is to not read it. And not listen to it.
Totally.
Open it up. What is it that Jesus said? Do I believe it? I came to a point where I said it must be true. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I didn't understand anything except I was a sinner. Nobody had to convince me. And that sin needed to be dealt with because I felt really guilty about it. I needed the Savior to pay for that. That's all I knew. He saved me. That was the word concerning Christ. And as much as I needed was it. And then he has opened opened and opened. And there's still stuff. Please trust me. I'm reading my scripture and I'm scratching my head. Lord, what's this about? I don't know yet. Cade?
Yeah, I really like that verse in 1 Peter. You had us look up where he talks about bringing us to a type of, I don't want to say completion, but almost like bringing you past all the different types of soil, but to the soil, it's the rich soil that the Word indwells and kind of keeps you there. Because I think maybe it's the parable of the talents also, where he talks about what he's been given you will be taken away if you kind of like disregard what you've already been shown. I might be wrong about that, but, you know, he said it in those first scriptures we're looking at today about that which you have will be taken away, you know, like, you know, harping up. I mean, I think that's what he's saying.
Thank you.
Part of this process is that word believing is a verb. And I look at this as once we have believed and taken the word in, we now become the sower. We've got to start throwing it back out. You can't just, you know, become a better Christian because you go to church every Sunday and you go to Bible studies or whatever and just, I'm being saved more and more.
Gotta share.
You've got to start giving some of it back.
Thank you. That's kind of the difference between a fresh pond and a stagnant one.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I just want to thank you for being so transparent. It's nice to know that you're sometimes looking at your Bible scratching your head, too. Thank you.
I think, personally for me, he's giving me everything I need so that when I stand before him, I need to drop to my knees and say thank you.
Lord.
Yeah, I'm there.
I have one closing statement. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some of you, no, most of you, have been with us month after month for years to enjoy the communion together because knowing Christ brings us together so we can express this, his death for me until he comes. We get to do that again. And we do not know if we've got next Sunday to meet again. But we're here. So thank you, Lord, for that. Stephen, can you help us feel up to it? Right. And Dave Blosser, you into it. Michael, please. Thank you. Thank you guys for helping us. Just to curb any confusion regarding this, this is just bread. This does not become the flesh of Jesus. That's a teaching that came in from men and not through the scriptures. This is just bread, but it represents his flesh, which was broken for me personally, but for us. That's why we do this together. This bread represents something amazing.
Amen.
And above all things, Jesus that we've been talking about. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, believing he is your Savior, the Son of God that the Father sent, he died for your sins. This is for you. This is for you to share together in this family and before him. Let's go ahead and share this around.
Anybody needs a gluten wafer? I have one.
Thank you. Brad has that one. Raise your hand. He'll get it to you. One of the revelations that Paul received, we read on most of these first Sundays of the month, about Jesus. When he had given thanks, he broke that bread. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's before his body was broken, so they didn't get it. They couldn't. But afterward, oh, now I see. It's a remembrance. Dave, you want to check the nursery too? And then Stephen can get the rest of it.
Our God, our Father, our God, our brother. The Lord Jesus Christ took a body like ours and dwelt among us that he might truly be our brother, knowing our frailties, knowing our problems, the issues that we deal with, and then dying on the cross for us, giving that body to those who spit upon him, who nailed him to the cross, that he might give his blood for us, that we might be washed of our sins. Our Father, we partake of the table today in remembrance of that great sacrifice. Our Father, we pray your grace upon us, that we might always have the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, because of your great love for us, ever present before our face, before our eyes. We pray your blessing upon the bread now.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In remembrance of him. Let's go ahead, please. In the scripture, just to keep in mind, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That is the word concerning Christ. And Mr. Winchester, would you just pray and we'll join you, giving thanks to the Lord for this.
Our Father, we are people who will be eternally grateful to you for what you have done, what you've accomplished in redeeming us, bringing us into your fold, making us your children, part of your family, and promising us a great future. And Father, you've done that through your Son, Jesus, and the shedding of his blood for us. For that we give you thanks and ask you to continue working in our lives in such a way that we can see what you're doing, and recognizing that all that we are, all that we're looking forward to, is because of what you have done for us. Thank you for working in our minds and our hearts to make us into the people you want us to be.
Yes.
We give you thanks, Father, because you allow us to come boldly to you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
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 In remembrance of him. Mm-hmm.